Good afternoon. Welcome to Mumps Resurgence 2010. My name is Deborah Blogg, and I am the director of the Bureau of Immunization at the New York State Department of Health. And New York State has been hosting the largest mumps outbreak since 2006. It began at a Hasidic summer camp in one of our upstate counties, Sullivan County, and has since spread to 5 of our upstate counties, New York City, New Jersey, Montreal, and Jerusalem. From our two major counties that have most of the cases, Orange County has seen about 800 cases, and Rockland County about 400 cases. So this has been very challenging for us, especially since this has occurred over the last about 8 months or so, at the same time we were dealing with H1N1. And if there is a silver lining to disease, I have to say that it has to do with the partnerships that have been generated as a result of dealing with this outbreak, and that includes our wonderful local health department partners and CDC, who have come many times to support us, and that has been really wonderful. And in addition, the partnerships we have formed with the Hasidic community have been very positive, and we hope will be ongoing. So today you're going to get several perspectives on this outbreak. Kathy Gallagher is going to start with an overview, and then you're going to hear from New Jersey, New York City, and also from Israel. So this is very exciting. We're going to save time for questions at the end and let all four speakers go first. So Kathy Gallagher is going to start. She is with CDC and is the team leader for measles, mumps, rubella, and polio in the Division of Viral Diseases, and she's going to talk on mumps, the 2010 perspective.
Thank you, Deb. I know Deb on a first name basis because we've been up to New York State so many times since January, so that's good. So today I'm really going to update you on what's been going on with mumps since the last National Immunization Conference in Dallas, and there's been a lot going on, so we'll try to go through this pretty quickly. This slide should be familiar to you all, and basically it's just here to emphasize that after the licensure of mumps vaccine in 1967 and its recommendation for universal childhood use in 1977, we had a dramatic decline in mumps incidence in the U.S. Many of you who are as old as me will remember that there was a smaller resurgence that happened in 1986 through 1991. Then a second dose of MMR was recommended, mostly for measles outbreak control. And there was very little mumps nationally until the resurgence in 2006, which again, many of you probably remember, that was focused in primarily Midwestern states, primarily in a highly vaccinated population, many of who were college students. And this is just a little bit more granular view of what happened in 2006 and now. You can see that the incidence of mumps throughout the U.S. was very low. It was about 0.1 per 100,000. We were getting ready to think about mumps elimination in the U.S., and then this large outbreak happened in 2006. After that outbreak, you can see that things returned almost to baseline, not quite, and then again in August of this year, there was the initial notification of a mumps case in New York State. So this slide graphically depicts sort of what happened here. So back in June of 2009, there was a Jewish boy returning from his trip to the UK to a summer camp in Sullivan County, New York. And he developed peritonitis shortly after his arrival back at camp. He infected other campers. Camp was over at the end of August. Some of the other campers who were apparently incubating mumps then went back home to their residences in New York State, New York City and Orange County, in Rockland County. Then there was additional spread from there. And then later in the fall, there was spread from New York City to both New Jersey and Orange County, New York. And additionally, at that time in the fall, probably associated with contact during the Jewish high holidays, there was spread to Quebec and also some spread to Jerusalem, which you'll hear about in one of our later presentations. Then later on in this winter, we also had smaller clusters that popped up in Connecticut and northern New Jersey. And so that's what all the dots are here. This slide shows the most updated epidemic curve that we have for this outbreak in the Northeast. You can see the index case in Sullivan County, that's here, and the green cases here are the cases that occurred in the camp. And then you can see that there was then some transmission to New York City in the hot pink, and some to Rockland County here in the red. And then later on, some spread to New Jersey and to Orange County. You can also see that it looks like, and we're crossing our fingers on this, that it looks like the epidemic is on the decline, at least in most of the geographic areas. So what do we know about this outbreak so far? Well, it's the largest outbreak we've had in the US since 2006. We've had just over 3,000 cases reported as of the end of last week. The median age of cases is 15 years, with a range from 3 months to 90 years. 72% of the cases in this outbreak have been male. That's actually different than the outbreak in 2006, which was had a higher proportion of females. And most of the cases in this outbreak had a typical clinical presentation, so they actually presented with either unilateral or bilateral peritonitis. There were 111 reported complications, which are shown here. By far the most common of those is orchitis, especially since in this outbreak there were many postpubertal males. There were 38 hospitalizations and fortunately no deaths. And again, cases are declining but continue to be reported, and we'll have an update from some sites on the specifics of that. In this outbreak, the affected community has been almost exclusively the Hasidic Jewish community, with over 95% of the case patients belonging to that community. As many of you know, this population has limited interaction with outside communities, and we think this is one of the reasons why the transmission has been so contained. In some of these communities, the children attend almost always exclusively Jewish religious schools, and we know that there have been some schools where transmission has been ongoing. In addition to that, the community tends to have very large families. It's not surprising to see family sizes in excess of 10, and that may have also facilitated transmission. This slide just shows the age groups of the reported cases and their vaccination status. And the real take-home message from this slide is that, at least for the school-aged children, most of these cases have had the recommended 2 doses of MMR vaccine, shown in the yellow bars here. And the other thing of note is that adults, older adolescents and adults, it's much more common to have unknown vaccine status. And this is in large part because this group tends not to have their vaccination records. So we saw in the outbreaks that there were many people who just didn't have, they thought they had been vaccinated, but they didn't have any documentation of that. There are several factors we think that were contributing both to the outbreak in 2006 and this current outbreak. In both cases, we believe there was importation of virus from an endemic area outside the US. We know in this most recent one, it was the UK, where they've been having an ongoing mumps outbreak for quite some time. We also know from the 2006 outbreak that vaccine effectiveness for this vaccine ranges from 73 to 91% for one dose and 79 to 95% for 2 doses. So when the virus is introduced into someone who might live in a highly dense living situation or have a lot of exposure because of their educational environment, that it's likely that an outbreak can actually be sustained. This picture, although it's blurry, gives you a little bit of an idea of what the study environment is like for boys in this Hasidic community. So once boys reach a certain age, they then spend a good portion of their day in study halls, where they often partner with someone to study back and forth their religious studies. And so you can see that this hall looks pretty crowded, and that frequently the hours that a boy will spend in school are quite a bit longer than what they would in an average public school. So as any of you who've worked on a two-dose mumps outbreak know, that there are limited options for what you can do for control measures in these scenarios. A third dose of MMR vaccine is not routinely recommended either for outbreak control or for post-exposure prophylaxis. In these communities, social distancing is not a particularly feasible option because even if you were to remove them from their home, from their school, they have very crowded conditions often in their home. In Orange County, because almost all of the children attended village-wide religious schools, and we knew that transmission was happening in these schools, and that the children in those schools were highly vaccinated already with two doses of MMR, we offered a third dose of MMR vaccine to children who were in 6th to 12th grade. And we're just up in Orange County last week collecting additional data to see the impact of that evaluation. There's also a study going underway there that looks at the possibility of using MMR vaccine as post-exposure prophylaxis in households that have contact with mumps cases. And that study is still enrolling households, even if slowly, and there are no results yet from that. And then this wasn't originally planned to be included in this talk, but last week we heard about another ongoing mumps outbreak in Guam. And this is an epidemic curve that gives you an update of what's going on there at the moment. So the blue bars here are the confirmed cases, and the yellow are the suspect cases. And as of this morning, they were up to about 90 confirmed and suspect cases in total. About 20 of those have been confirmed. We're very early on in the investigation of this outbreak, so it's hard to know exactly what the characteristics and demographics of this outbreak are, but we have some CDC staff in the field that are assisting the Guam Health Department in this investigation. So any of you who've worked with mumps recently know that there are some significant challenges. And I've listed just some of them here, the most obvious ones. Diagnosis is always a challenge. We've heard a lot anecdotally in this outbreak that, oh yeah, I saw this kid with peritonitis, but he had two doses, so I didn't think it was mumps. And so early on in some of these outbreaks, there were many diagnoses that were missed. Lab testing can be less than ideal in people who've received two doses of vaccine. You all know that. That's always a challenge. In addition, there has been substantial underreporting of cases in some situations because people with mild illness probably do not seek medical care, and cases without lab confirmation may not be reported. Effective control measures are limited. Social distancing and quarantine are not always feasible, and we don't have any data at the moment on the effectiveness of a third dose of MMR. So as far as ongoing and future activities that we're planning, as always, we're conducting ongoing surveillance for mumps throughout the U.S. And its territories, and promoting early recognition, diagnosis, and public health intervention. Again, as always, we encourage timely vaccination with two doses of MMR vaccine for all kids who it's recommended for. And then over the next few months, we'll be evaluating the impact of the third dose of MMR vaccine to see if this might be a tool that we could use in outbreaks in the future. And I want to just acknowledge all of the state and local health departments who really make all of this work possible, and my colleagues at CDC.